Hey guys, I love seeing all the excitement out there, all the comments and the emails that I've been getting. I'm really sorry, I've been working super hard all weekend to finish the website, to get everything set, to get all the little details in place. I want it all to be perfect when we put everything out to you. But I promise tomorrow on Tuesday in your email inbox, you'll have an email that gives you all the information that you need, and registration will be open so that you can sign up for this flower and garden photography conference. So thanks for all the emails I've been getting. Thanks for all the comments online. And I promise that'll be there tomorrow morning. But today we have an interview with Alan Shapiro, and Alan is a really exciting, fun photographer that he's from New York City. He's got a really crazy personality. He's just one of these people that you want to hang out with and photograph with, and that's what you're going to get the chance to do. And he's talking today about a lot of the exercises that he does with people to bring out their creativity, and he's also going to be talking about the different post-processing styles that he does. So that's why I wanted to bring him on for this third and final interview right here, right before we open everything up, because I want him to talk to you about post-processing. Ann Belmont talked about her favorite places to photograph in the Chicago Botanic Garden. Charles Needle talked about how he gets these abstract images using all these different techniques. And Alan Shapiro is really known for his great post-processing work, whether it's monochrome images or it's these great color photographs that he makes. So he's going to be talking about that today in just a minute. So even though we've been organizing these events for 5 years and going around the country to do them, I think I'm most excited about this one, which is right here in our backyard. It's even closer to me than the ones that we do downtown Chicago. The Chicago Botanic Garden is close to our home. Ann and I, we go there all the time. As a matter of fact, when I wrote the Photographer's Guide to Chicago in the original edition, of all the 100 places in that original edition, I said if there were one place, if I could only choose one place to photograph the rest of my life, I said, without a doubt, it's the Chicago Botanic Garden. And I remember Ann saying, why did you pick that? You're not known for your flower photography. So it's true, but it's got such a great diversity, and it does have great buildings if you like to photograph architecture like I do. And it has great landscapes, and I love to go and photograph bugs. And yes, I'll get flower photos also. So there's so many things that we can do there. And this conference, it's not just about flower photography. We're going to have a great diversity of things. And like I said, we're going to have all that information tomorrow. But right now, let's talk with Alan Shapiro and talk about some crazy post-processing. Here we go. I'm here with one of my very favorite flower photographers of all time. It's Alan Shapiro. Hi, Alan.
Hey, Chris. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you very much for coming on and giving us some of your insight on what you're going to be teaching at our conference coming up in August.
You bet. You bet.
It's going to be great.
So, I am so psyched. Yeah,
it's going to be great. Just the people that we have coming that are teaching, right, at the event, and we're going to have great attendees, and we're going to be at the Chicago Botanic Garden.
What could be bad, right?
So it's going to be phenomenal. And one of my favorite parts about it is that every instructor we have kind of looks at flower and garden photography from a slightly different angle. And so we're going to talk about how you see things, and I just love your personality, even though I have, you know, I've just kind of met you over a couple of interviews like this. Your personality comes through in your Facebook posts and on your Instagram and everything else. So I'm excited, and everyone else that we have involved is really excited to have you just with us. So it's going to be great.
Thanks so much.
Yeah. So let's talk first. One of the things that I really want you to help people with, and I know you sounded excited about it, is doing some post-processing with images. So tell us, you know, like what's kind of your, going to throw you off, but like what's your philosophy in post-processing? Like what are you trying to do when you're post-processing flower images?
Oh, wow. You are going to throw me off.
That's what I wanted.
You know what it is? I think every day, when I sit down and I shoot for an hour a day and I process for an hour a day, it's like exercise, right?
Wow.
It's kind of like therapy. So when I sit down, I think it depends on my mood. It depends on the day I've had, whether I go dark, whether I go monochromatic, whether I go just very bright and you know, bring something to life the way I saw it, not only in real life, but in my mind's eye. So it's always a little bit of a mystery to me.
And are you mostly processing images you shot that day, or do you go back and the way you just said it, it's like you shoot for an hour and then you process for an hour, but I'm sure it's not always. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I would bet that I have about 100 gigabytes or more of images that I've yet to get to, like literally yet to even start with. So
right. Yeah, but that's great. And to find that like diamond in the rough and to be like, oh man, I didn't even realize I had this on here. Like, yeah, I'm working on this.
I forgot I shot that. Like, yeah. Where was I? What was I thinking?
Exactly.
So I think it depends on the mood, and there are some times where, you know, for me, every day is a different learning experience, and I believe in forcing myself to make mistakes, or what I call mistakes, because, you know, there's no such thing as a mistake, but to just try different things and see what happens. It's no different than a cook playing with ingredients on any given day. Or, you know, a fine master carpenter getting a great piece of wood and seeing what they can bring out of it. And I think that's the magic in post-processing. And, you know, it blows my mind sometimes because I do a lot of teaching and I will sit and talk to people who have this abhorrence for post-processing. And I think, you know, it's more the photojournalistic side of things, but I almost can't comprehend where they're coming from, because for me, it is like you're starting with this raw thing that you created and you perfected in camera, but then there's so much more you can do after the fact. And that's kind of the other half of the magic.
No. Yeah, but I feel like you're not like completely creating something brand new. Like some people will go and they'll take like 5 pictures taken 5 different days and make it into something that looked nothing like the original picture. I don't feel that's you. You're just bringing out the best of what you originally shot, I feel.
Well, that's kind of what I share with you. You should see all the stuff that I'm either embarrassed to show people or I've yet to. I have this awful disease called perfection paralysis.
Yeah.
Can you relate?
I think a lot of people can relate. Yeah. Yes. Uh-huh.
Yeah. So, you know, in a lot of cases, something's just not good enough. And do I want to share it? And you know, I also, and I'm, I don't want to contradict myself, but I believe that there is this, there's two sides to what we as people who believe in sharing, you know, I don't want to call myself an educator because I, you know, we're all on this journey together. And I think there is so much to sharing the process. I think it makes everyone better. You know, one, the more I give away and put out in the open, the more it forces me to find what's next. Mm-hmm. And then share that and keep it going. But there's still this little bit of trepidation. I mean, we're living in this incredibly social world where everything is kind of transparent. And, you know, I want to be appreciated. I want to be liked, right? Which is, it's kind of embarrassing. But, you know, myself and my teenage daughter, right? We both.
Well, sure. Of course.
God, I said that in an interview. Oh my.
Yeah, God. Yeah, and it's okay. It's too late now. It's out there.
Right.
So when you're helping people, and you're going to be helping people at our event, what types of things are you going to be working through with them as far as that post-processing? What kind of tips are you going to give them? Could you give us a tip or two right now that might get people trying some new stuff on their own?
Well, one of the most obvious in given my work is if we're doing macro, we're shooting something really colorful, let's look at it in black and white and see how much color we can bring to a black and white image, right? So, and there's so many different techniques for doing that. And I'm not
say
talking
that again. How much color can we bring to a black and white image? Is that what you just said?
Yeah, what's that famous quote that, you know, a color image, you know, brings out the wardrobe and a black and white image brings out the soul.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I believe that when we shoot, particularly macro and, you know, in this beautiful garden we're going to be in, there is so much, there's an overabundance of color. When we strip that away and we look at the form and the texture and the composition and the, you know, the balance of light and dark, a different kind of color comes out, right? It's just... Mm-hmm. And that is a fascinating process to see and to begin to see in black and white. And I believe that is something that people develop over time if they enjoy that side of things. And, you know, it clicked for me just a couple of years ago where I could actually go into an environment and see it in black and white as opposed to in color. And it wasn't because I was drinking too much tequila the night before.
That's normal.
Anything to further the creative process.
Exactly. When you are doing this, are you shooting in black and white? No. I guess is a loaded question, but are you seeing things in black and white as you're shooting? Because you kind of alluded to that right there.
Yeah. I can definitely know what things are going to look like in black and white. I know I can shoot in black and white, and the cameras I use allow for that, but I don't want to limit myself to just black and white, although I'm sure there's an interesting exercise, and we'll talk about that next, in, you know, sort of like putting some blinders on, putting some pure limitations on. But for me, I want the opportunity to go in any direction I want. And so that's give me a full color image, and I'm going to show everyone, you know, 6 or 8 different techniques for working in black and white, and then a whole bunch of other techniques for just processing in color, right? So anything they want to learn, we'll figure out together.
Yeah, no, and I love that. And your images just run the gamut from really colorful to like you said, black and white monochrome. And I wrote it down, so I try and remember it. Your galleries on your website are Tripping in the Garden with Miracle-Gro, and then Moments in the Monochrome Garden. It's like all one way or all the other. I love it.
Yeah. Yeah, I haven't figured out what the middle book is going to be, but.
Yeah, no, that's great. Now, what is it? I'll do one more question here, then we'll go on to those creative things. What is it when you either are shooting a flower or when you're processing it that makes your mind go, oh, this might be good in black and white?
I like to practice this thing I call photographic sketching. And it's easy in Lightroom, which I think is the program most of our people will be, you know, comfortable starting in. That doesn't mean we won't play in Photoshop or some of the other toys that are available, you know, whether it's Nick or On One, or even if we have some adventurous people, we could talk about Capture One, you know, the very high end and incredibly complex and wonderful program. But I will save something 4 or 5 different ways. And then I will very quickly, I'll do sort of like speed processing just to see what the image, you know, where the image wants to go. And I don't want it to sound too ethereal. I mean, it's very therapeutic. And it's just this aspect of looking at something a bunch of different ways. And having said that, there are some images that I just know I want pure, beautiful color, and others that are like, oh my God, it is such a striking composition, right? Or the textures are so wonderful that it just screams for black and white.
Right. Because you take away that color from an image like that, and it really draws the eye to those textures, patterns, and all that. Yeah. Oh, I love it. So the other thing you talked about that you want to help people with are some creative exercises. Tell us about the types of things that people can expect to learn and to do out in the field as well.
Oh my God. Oh, that I don't want to spoil the surprise.
No. I think we give it to them. Come on.
Okay. So here's one incredible exercise. Everyone is going to stand in one place in the garden and with enough room, but they're not allowed to move. Once they find that place, they can't move. And the first part of the exercise is they're going to shoot 100 photos. And we're going to do it in like a minute or two. Mm-hmm. Right, and then we're going to
100 that are all basically the same thing.
No, we're gonna find 100 photos. Okay,
100 different photos.
100 different photos planted in one place. Now that doesn't mean, you know. So if you're a yogi and you can, you know, play the contortionist, you may have a leg up literally and figuratively over the person next to you. But then we're gonna quickly scroll through, and we're gonna make some decisions, and then the next exercise is now. Now let's find only 20. So now let's go back. So we got all the crap out of our system and we saw what's possible in this one very quick exercise. Now let's hone in, and you know, in your mind's eye, you're remembering the things that stood out to you and the moments of unexpected, like you found something. Now we're gonna perfect it.
Right.
We're gonna do that with 20. Then we're going to go back and we're going to pick one. Now, again, we're not moving, but now we're going to find our favorite image. And we're going to go back and we're going to turn that into the biggest masterpiece we could possibly do in that one space. And just that the liberation of the shoot 100, what do you mean? I can't do that. Of course we can, right? That's the beauty of the digital cameras that we're all working with. If anyone's working in film, you know, we'll figure a separate exercise. Another one is to start, and I'm a big proponent for using your words, right? I like adding context and back.
I listened to your Google presentation, the presentation you did at Google. Yes. Uh-huh. It's
okay.
Fantastic. Well, I'll put a link to that as well too.
Okay. So that was a while ago, but for me, you know, one, I want my great grandchildren to know what I was thinking when they look back on the work that their great grandfather did. Right. And it's just because there's so much that happens that goes through your mind that isn't literal necessarily. So we can make certain decisions. Now, let's jump ahead to this exercise. We're each going to find a flower or a plant or something. And before we do anything, I'm going to hand out pads or paper and we're going to write its story. And we're going to do it in, you know, 50, 100 words. It's not a writing exercise. But the interesting thing to me, and again, I will spoil it, is most people start with a very literal description
of what it looks like.
Yes. But then we're going to go, no, tell me a different story. Be more, tell me a true story. Don't describe it. What's the backstory of that flower? What has it been through? What is it about to go through? What is it thinking? Like whether we personify it a little bit or whether we just turn it into something. And in doing that, a different part of your brain is utilized. And you start seeing it not for a very literal object, as beautiful as it is, but as something that has a story waiting to be told. And in doing that verbal process, the written process, now when we pick our cameras up and we bring that story to life, we get to a very different place. So these are very simple exercises, and some of them are going to be much more interesting. And will involve other people as well. But all of this is designed to take you not to a heightened technical place. We'll do that at night. You know, we'll talk settings and all of that another time. This is to see what's possible when you're surrounded by things that are absolutely beautiful and how much more beautiful we can make them.
Absolutely. And the great part is that we're going to be doing it with people that are all thinking the same thing and are just as passionate about this type of photography as we are, and to be with instructors like you. So that's going to make it great. So this also reminds me of the story that you and I were talking about earlier, where I said someone told me when I showed them some flower photographs, and they said, you know, I'm just not really interested in flower photography. Because a flower is already beautiful. There's really no reason to go photograph it. It's already beautiful. I'd rather find something ugly and make it beautiful. But I didn't have a great answer, but you did have a great answer for this.
So it's no different than working with the most beautiful male or female model in the universe, right? Let's all think about our favorite supermodel. And then let's imagine them posing and with more makeup and in different settings and with the light doing different things with them. And so the fact that it's beautiful is just the beginning. I mean,
Absolutely.
That person should be hit upside down.
We won't say who that person was, but yes, I agree. But there's something else you said too. And this is, I've really been thinking about this since we talked about this just earlier today about, I think the word you used was anthropomorphizing or whatever.
I can't pronounce it, but I know it. So it's funny. I mean, we were talking, I started as a photographer shooting people. And I still, most of my professional work is shooting portraits and you know, environmental portraiture. But I found myself, because I'm in New York and there's a lot of homeless people, and I spend a lot of time, like I have a soapbox and, you know, I believe in trying to figure out how to never have there be another overlooked person. You know, that's one of my causes, as is, you know, dealing with veterans and, you know, who are just don't get anywhere near as much appreciation as they get. They don't ever get enough. There's no such thing as too much. But so I'm hearing their stories, and I was internalizing a lot of it, and I found it upsetting me on an ongoing basis. And that had me saying, okay, I need to take a break from shooting people because it's bringing me down. So I found something beautiful looking up. When things are looking down, find something beautiful looking up, right? So that's where that started. And I've said that to countless people, and I believe it. There is something about just taking a moment in a very focused way, right? And just seeing what's there. And it's magnificent, right? That's why a lot of us like macro. But it's not just a pretty flower. I think if you look carefully, you'll see them posing for you. You'll see them smiling at you. You'll see shy flowers with the petals covering themselves, right? And you'll see brazen flowers who are just wide open and, you know, sort of the florotica side of things.
Oh, I like that.
yeah. I mean, you know, so these are all genres of photography, even working with aging flowers, right? There's something very parallel to working with the elder people in our society. Mm-hmm. And how beautiful they are once you just look at them for their years of experience. And so I find that, you know, shooting a flower portrait is no different than shooting a portrait of a person.
Yeah, and I think that when you start to think that way, that you really start shooting things differently. When you're like, okay, how can I document the scene in front of me? That's something totally different than how can I bring out the personality of what I'm seeing in front of me.
Exactly. Yeah, and so that's part of the fun, and it's definitely a process. And there's a couple of exercises, like where we start, you know, with an object as an object, and then we, you know, sort of move around it and see what happens. But it involves laying on your stomach a lot, which is in the middle of summer in a beautiful botanical garden, right?
It's going to be great.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can't wait. All right. So I've been following you for a while, but where can everyone else go to follow you on Instagram, Facebook, whatever they want to do?
Okay. Let's see. Instagram. I am Alan Shapiro, Alan with one L, A-L-A-N, Shapiro 515. That's my Instagram handle. Facebook is, I think it's just Alan Shapiro.
Okay. Well, either way, I know the links and I'll put them in the notes and everyone can click on them.
And that's it. And, you know, the website's good, but it's not for people who are photographers because, you know, they don't need to buy anything. So
No, but we just love looking through the images. Like I said, those two galleries are great.
Then do that.
That's right. Yep. Yeah. If you just Google Alan Shapiro photography, all that's going to come up.
Yeah, it pretty much will come up, I think. So.
For sure. No, I've been doing it. It works.
Cool. Yeah. So I can't wait. I am so psyched for this, the inaugural Out of Chicago macro conference. It is going to be a hoot.
It's going to be lots of fun. Yep.
Some people I can't wait to personally meet, you know, the other instructors that I am a fan of. And, mm-hmm. you know, for all of us, I think one of the beautiful things about sharing is not a day goes by where all of us don't learn something. And this is going to be a couple of days filled.
Yeah. And I was going to say that earlier when you said that, you know, you want to help people, but it's just all part of the process and that we're all working together. When we were in Acadia, that's how it worked, that people were, you know, we'd all sit down, people would bring up their images, other attendees would help other attendees, and then attendees were helping the instructors. And like, I never even thought about trying to do that. And it's just a great community. It's not just teach, learn this. It's right, working exactly. together. Yeah.
Yeah.
Love it.
Golden, it's like the Renaissance, right?
Oh, we are living it's like in the
golden age of photography. And, you know, thank God for things like this because it's making all of us better and more spontaneous. And then it's showing us what's possible when we have the other extreme, when we take gear that we understand out and put it through its paces. So.
Right. And I would say that this is great and we love it and we share our images, but there's nothing like actually getting together and shooting together and learning right next to the people that you usually follow online. Yeah.
Yep.
So it's going to be great.
Oh, in real life is cool. So can't wait.
Yeah, real life's good too. All right. Thanks, Alan. This was great. Thank you very much. We'll see you in August.
You bet.
Bye-bye. So I've had a few people email me and ask, oh, wait, I'm confused. Is Ann Belmont running this workshop or is Charles Needle running the workshop? And if that's what people are wondering about, I've done a terrible job communicating this. This is not just like a regular photography workshop for a few days. This is a flower and garden photography conference that
is like nothing anyone's ever seen before. We have 10 instructors coming in. They're all going to give their interesting points of view, and they're going to be taking you to the Chicago Botanic Garden to photograph. So yes, you'll work with Ann Belmont. You'll also work with Charles Needle, but we've got 10 photographers. I don't want to miss any. Mike Motes, Alan Shapiro, who we just talked with, David M. Cobb, who is a garden landscape photographer from the West Coast, Sherry Miller, who does contemplative garden photography, Thomas Shahan, the close-up macro bug photographer, Lou and Todd Nettlehorse, and Tony Reynez, who are all intimately knowledgeable of the Chicago Botanic Garden. So we've got a great mix of people from out of town that are just world-class photographers and people that are from the Chicago area who are also world-class photographers, and they know the Chicago Botanic Garden really well. So it's not just a workshop, it's an entire garden and flower photography conference. And yes, people keep asking me, when does the registration open? How do I sign up? Can I sign up right now? I'm sorry, like, this is just taken, it's all these little details. I don't want to, like, put something up and have to change it later. I've worked on all these little tiny details, bringing everyone together, making sure that we have everything figured out exactly how it's going to work out, and we're just about there. Like I said, on Tuesday, tomorrow, you're going to get an email in your inbox, and it's going to have a link so you can go and check out everything on the website. You can register and make sure you save your spot, because I'm really not sure, but the last couple events we've done, going to Moab, Utah, and the last couple things we've done at the garden, they've sold out almost immediately, and so that's your way of saving your spot. I don't know. I have no idea who's going to sign up for this. We've never done a flower and garden photography conference before, so I don't know. Maybe it'll just be 4 or 5 people, but I just, from the emails I've been getting, I think it's going to be really popular. So make sure that if you've been watching these videos and you're interested, that you save your spot. And people have been asking, what's included? Well, you actually have 3 different options. And like I said, I've been working out all these details, and it's partly because of the emails I've gotten with questions and the surveys that we sent out and your responses. We've used all of this information to really make this something that's going to make a lot of people happy. That's our goal, is to try and make as many people happy as possible. And so there's actually 3 different options you'll have when you go to sign up. One is that so many people ask for a one-day event. They said, can we just come for one day? Like, we're not interested in spending all this time, committing all this time, but can we just come and hang out for one day? So we've created a separate one-day event. We're not, if you're going to take part in the full conference, you're taking part in the full conference, but we've created a separate event for those people that are just hoping to go and shoot at the Botanic Garden with some of these local photographers. And that's going to take place on August 20th. You're going to photograph with Ann Belmont, Tony Reynez, Lou and Todd Nettlehorst. Lou and Todd, Lou is the father, Todd is his son, and they work together for all of their workshops, and you're going to work with all of them, and you're going to learn online from them ahead of time when we do some online classes. So that's a one-day event with some online learning ahead of time. The other 2 options are, well, to come to the conference and then either stay at the hotel or not stay at the hotel. If you're not staying at the hotel, there's still a ton of stuff that's included. First off, all of the instruction is included. So the presentations, the breakout sessions, the critique sessions, post-processing, one-on-one help sessions where you're going to get to sit down for a little bit with different instructors and just get some one-on-one help. All of those things are included in the ticket price. We're also going to, because we're going to be there taking all these classes in the middle of the day, in the middle of that, we're going to get lunch. So we'll get lunch for you. That's included in the ticket price at the hotel. So all the instruction, the lunch, we're going to coordinate it so you don't have to pay anything to get into the Chicago Botanic Garden. So basically, you reserve your spot. If you're from out of town, get a flight so that you can get here. Get yourself to the Embassy Suites in Deerfield, and you're good to go. That's August 26th through the 30th. That's a 5-day event, and you get yourself here. We're going to take care of all of those details so you can focus on your photography. Now, if you do decide to stay at the hotel, I'm telling you, that's the way to do it. Because if you stay at the Embassy Suites, not only are you going to get that great two-room suite, and they're really, really nice. We went and checked them out. They're great. But not only that, they've got a great breakfast, which is not just like a couple of things laid out. They have an omelet station, all this other stuff, all a hot breakfast. So that's included if you're staying at the hotel. And I've never even heard of this before, but apparently Embassy Suites does a happy hour reception where they've got free beer, wine, cocktails, and snacks all included staying at the hotel. So if you stay at the hotel as part of this package, and we're going to include that so you can choose with or without the hotel, if you get that, then all of that other stuff is included. And not only that, but even if you lived in the area, I would still want to stay at the hotel. I live like... I don't know, like half a mile from that hotel, I think. And I'm going to stay at the hotel. Well, of course, because I got to be there organizing everything. But who wouldn't want to stay there? Because we're going to have those breakout sessions and the post-processing sessions. Those are going to be after dinner into the evening. And I'm sure they're just going to, some of them are going to continue on. People are going to be working in the lobby together. We're going to be working into the late evening. Who would want to drive all the way home just to wake up super early to drive back? So if you're at the hotel, you can stay up late, you can crash at the hotel rooms, wake up early because we're going to be going out. We want to shoot the really good lights, so we're going to have early morning shooting sessions so that you can get up just after sunrise, head to the garden, and that's going to be our first excursions for the day. So during those full days when you're there all day, we're going to wake up early, we're going to have an excursion to the garden. We're going to then come back and we are going to have classes in the middle of the day. We're going to take a break for lunch and eat all together as a group for lunch. Then we're going to go back to some more sessions, breakout sessions, all those other things, before then going to, for the whole afternoon, shooting at the Botanic Garden. After that, you'll have time. Well, we'll come back and we'll do the happy hour reception. That's back at the hotel. Get ourselves ready. Go out for dinner. And after dinner, then we're going to spend the rest of the evening working together on our images, helping each other with post-processing, and just having a good time talking photography and helping each other to get better. Before going to bed, waking up early, doing it all again. So I guess it's a fair question to ask, what are you going to learn during this conference? And I'll tell you, the overarching theme here is that we want you to be more creative. We've handpicked these 10 photographers to help you with your creativity, to develop your own sense of style. We're not just trying to get you to document a flower or a garden. We want you to make creative, fine art, unique images. So that's the number one thing. But to do that, we're going to teach you all the techniques that you might need to know along the way. So we're going to teach you, we're going to work a ton on composition, but we're also going to do lighting, and that might be controlling natural light or using off-camera and artificial light. You're going to learn both of those. But it's really important to be able to get that focus right on a flower. So we're going to teach you how to nail the focus on a flower every single time, whether you're shooting with a telephoto lens or you're shooting macro distances. All those things we'll talk about, and we'll teach you how to do focus stacking if that's your thing, so that you can get that really, really deep depth of field. But we'll also teach you how to go the other direction and to use like a lens baby or to use just a wide open aperture to get that really shallow depth of field to focus on just the part you want and then have the rest of the background go out of focus. So by knowing all of these different techniques, you can then use them at the right times, or you can figure out this is the one that really speaks to me, and that's what you're going to use to develop that creative vision that we're looking for. Our instructors are also going to give you some tips on how to create images that you're going to be able to sell, and the types of images that like people and agencies would be looking for. And we're also going to give you tons of help with post-processing. So we're going to, the instructors will show you their techniques and get a chance. You'll have a chance to then work on your images and alongside with them so that they can give you some feedback and say, why don't you try this? What would happen if you did this? So overall, those are the things you're going to learn. But the way that we're going to do it is what makes this special, is that you're going to have an opportunity to learn new techniques. Then you're going to go out into the field, the Chicago Botanic Garden, to try all of these things. then we're going to come back and you're going to get post-processing help and the critiquing that's going to help you to get better at what you're doing. Then you go back and you do it again. You learn, you shoot together, and then you critique and work on the images together. And it's that whole process that makes this special and an opportunity that you really can't get in too many other places. So I've really done a lot of talking here, and I'll stop, but I hope that you get our big vision here. This is something we've been working on for a really long time. This is something where we follow all of these photographers online and we like them on social media, and that's one thing. But to actually get together and all be in one place, all of these instructors and the attendees that are so passionate about this type of photography, all in one place working together. You know, we sensed this when we went to Acadia National Park in Maine. Everyone was there with the same vision. They all had the same passion, and to all be in the same room learning and helping each other, it's unlike anything I've ever done before, unlike anything I've been a part of. And the comments that we got from all of the attendees, you know, all said the same thing. So we're going to take that same experience, but do it in this type of a setting with flowers and gardens. I don't know. We've said a lot of things. I hope you just really get where we're coming from and why we're so excited about this event. So be on the lookout tomorrow morning, Tuesday, if you're reading this on Monday, listening to this on Monday, you're going to get an email in your inbox, and it's going to have a link to the website with all of this information, all the details, and I think you're really going to be excited to see everything that's included in that ticket price. And we've kind of made this so that it works for everyone, whether you want to do a 1 day or you want to do a 5 day or a 5 day with the hotel, and it's an all-inclusive thing. We've tried to make it work for everyone, and it's going to work for anyone that is all the way from a beginner photographer up to really experienced photographers. We're going to hit all of those things along the way. So I'm super excited to have that go out tomorrow. Look in your email inboxes. Thanks for listening to me talk a whole bunch about something that I'm super passionate about, but maybe, I don't know, you're just listening to me. Thank you. I don't know. Whatever. Thank you very much. And if you have any questions, you can always just email me, reply to the original email this came in, or just email chris@outofchicago.com, and I'd be happy to get right back to you. All right. Thanks for listening to the end of this video. Thank you to Alan Shapiro for a great interview. Like I said, it's fun to watch interviews and watch things online, but I can't wait until we're all hanging out together and photographing together. So I hope to see you in August. Thank you.